This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Welcome in, everybody, to the Flagship Podcast. I am Chip Brown of Horns247.com, joined by 2005 Texas National Champion, Pro Bowl safety with the Tennessee Titans, and analyst with the Longhorn Network, and soon-to-be reality TV star, the one and only Michael Griffin. Griff, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. How about yourself?
Hey, man, I'm doing great. Before we get into football, I mentioned soon-to-be reality TV star, so tell us the latest on the reality TV show involving you and Rack.
Me, Rack, and my other business partner, Brian Henson, we shot a reality TV show back in June, 6-episode show, about our families and life at Gigi's Cupcakes, and it will be airing the first quarter of next year, so it'll be coming out very soon, but very excited, another opportunity for us to continue to just pursue our careers and things after football, but it involves our families, different storylines and things of that nature, everyday life that what we're going through.
Love that. I mean, Michael Griffin, man's unstoppable. I mean, Griff, I love getting your opinion on Texas football. And we got the regular season wrapped up, 8-4. And a year ago, we talked to you about this time, and it was, you know, it was a frustrating time. Mm-hmm. And so I wanted to get your take, and I'll start with the defense, because that was one of the better storylines for the Longhorns this year, especially the way they played the last four ball games. But give me your thoughts on the Texas defense and what you saw in 2022.
Well, you know, the biggest thing was, you know, the points. I mean, points allowed, that was the biggest thing. I think they was averaging around 20 points, giving up 20 points a game, which I think is the best since 2009. And we all know 2009 was the time that Texas went to the national championship. But each and every week they gave the team the opportunity to win ball games, especially in the Big 12, knowing it's a high-scoring conference. But to see that they got better each and every week, to see that the Alabama game was not a fluke, to see that the Texas Tech game was just a one-offer. They continued to show up each and every week. The biggest thing I love was they had depth. You started seeing other guys making plays. You seen some people get banged up. You was able to see guys like Brooks and guys like Taft, and the list just continues. Gilbo, the list continues just to go on of guys coming in and making plays, and being able just to see that, you know, PK just put the best players on the field. And in the past, that's what you saw, that Texas was able to win a lot of ball games and have a really good defense when you just put the best players on the field. But you can just not say it enough on how much this defense turned it around. And the most surprising thing was turned around a lot of the same players that were around when they were one of the worst defenses in Texas history. So just to see that a lot of guys bought in, they enjoyed it. They played with a lot of emotions. They played very physical. You didn't see the big plays. I think they only allowed 100-yard rusher, and that was versus TCU. But outside, they did a phenomenal job.
The guys up front, Bo Davis and the defensive linemen, Moro Jomo, Keandre Coburn, Tavondre Sweat, Byron Murphy. What stood out to you about maybe the way they played last year compared to the way they played this year?
Well, the biggest thing is I think you said with Coburn. Coburn's been around the longest. He was the guy that after his redshirt year, he was supposed to be the guy. And then you just saw he kind of had a fall off somewhere in there. But to see that he came back for that COVID year, had another year to play. And again, just to see it's the same guy that was out there, but he's actually playing differently. He was playing like he had more edge to him. He was playing more consistent each and every week. I think the biggest play to solidify his career was the Kansas State play where he gets pressure, he knocks the ball out, sack, fumble, and game is over. But just to see how he used to play and how he plays now, Ojomo, I think you've seen a totally different player. Very, polite, very respectful, very humble. Doesn't seem like he has that attitude, but you just saw a whole different type of player this year. Sweat continued to do what he's been doing. And again, it's just one of those things where you thought that there was going to be guys that were going to take over, but you can see that they had a stable of guys that can go out there and get it done, and they did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, we're still kind of waiting on Alfred Collins. Hopefully next year it clicks for him like it did with the other guys, because as you mentioned earlier, there is depth. And if you were advised, Coburn can come back for another year. Ojomo can come back for another year. They walked, obviously, on senior day. But if you were advising those guys, would you advise them to come back, or do you think they're ready to go to the league?
You know, everybody's situation is different. You asked the question, but that is technically up to them, to be honest with you, because – as a coach, if you didn't feel like they fulfilled their duties at the University of Texas, they didn't live up to their potential, I could totally see, hey, come back another year and see what you can improve and get better. But to see from last year to this year, I think those guys played phenomenal. They played great. And again, you would just ask them to do the same thing over again. But I think you got some younger guys that are waiting their opportunity. So if I was their coach, I would say that I really don't see much more that they could do. You just wish they would have did what they did this year a lot earlier, to be honest with you.
Right, right. When you look at the defensive end position, Ovi Agofu moves on, but Baron Sorrell showed some stuff this season. Flashes. What'd you think of Baron Sorrell?
I think the first game he showed he could play some ball. I think he's still working on raw talent, but I think that will come. I think as they continue to play, as he continues to get more experience, a guy like, Jalen Ford, you saw him last year with little plays here and there, and then you saw the way what he did this year. I think Sorrell will be the same way. The more he plays, the more experience, the better he's going to get. So he showed a lot of promise this year. He showed what he can do. But now it's just going into the offseason, getting bigger, faster, stronger, and continue to work on that and be consistent and work on the things that he needs to improve on. Biggest thing I can tell is when he's supposed to hold the edge, he needs to hold the edge. Sometimes he gets a little greedy, and that kind of screws the defense up. But outside of that, you can still see he has a great upside.
Yeah, and then when you look, you mentioned the perimeter, the guys who the tackle for loss leader on this defense was Jahdae Barron through 12 games, 13 tackles for loss. I'll move to the corner position because Jahdae was playing some corner too. But, Ryan Watts, Jahdae Barron, Terrence Brooks with DeShawn Jameson moving on. What did you see from the corner position?
I would say Watts. Watts surprised me playing that boundary position. With some question marks, being that, I know Ohio State wanted him to play safety. Can he play that position? I think he did a phenomenal job to use his hands, his lengths. You never saw him get beat. Definitely a for sure tackler. That was the most impressive thing. You normally look at DBs, that's the one thing they don't want to do, but that's one thing he did a phenomenal job at doing. when I looked at Jahdae Barron, if I had to say who was the MVP of the secondary, I would have to go with him. Two touchdowns. I believe he had three turnovers the entire season, 13 tackles for loss. I call him a screen killer. And also, you know, I got to give a little bit biased because he is from the Austin, Texas area. So, of course, you got to give those guys a lot of love. But I don't think you've seen anybody play that nickel position the way that he played that position in a long time. Very physical player, can cover, had a knack for being around the ball, makes great tackles on running backs, the screens, great in coverage. I'm really curious to see how they're going to use him. You know, Anthony Cook is going on to the, as a senior. I wondered, being how physical he is he somebody that can move back to safety, or is he somebody that you stay at nickel? Do you move him to corner? He's pretty much a Swiss Army knife. Looks like he can play a lot of different positions. And we all know Cook was a former corner slash nickel that moved to safety, had a phenomenal year this also. Brooks, you could tell he had some things to learn, but when he did come in, he did some phenomenal job. The only thing he cannot get right is the quarters coverage and not knowing if he needs to stay on one or go to two. But again, that comes with experience. But when you go to the safety position, I think Jaron Thompson really turned things around. Freshman year, when Caden Stearns got hurt, he had an opportunity to come in and solidify himself as a starter. But you saw last year with Foster, Schooler, and things, you can kind of see that he kind of got lost in the shuffle. But this year, I mean, it was night and day. I mean, he played phenomenal. There should have been some big runs, big touchdowns, big deep passes. There should have been a lot of plays that this defense would have given up if he wasn't in the right position and also making the open field tackle. So I'm very excited to see him progress and be better. He's a very vocal leader, but he wasn't walking the walk like he was talking the talk. But right now he is walking the walk like he's talking the talk. So very excited to see where this group goes. Being that you have Jaron Thompson, Watts, you have Jahdae Barron, Brooks, you have a lot of guys that had a lot of experience this year, even Taft. And I'm very excited to see where that goes next year, being that they're going to be able to have a veteran group with young guys coming in behind them that can definitely be able to grow and be better in the future.
Yeah, it seemed like that was, if there was a weak spot, and really just because you had Cook, you know, have his injury, it seemed like there was some confusion at times, you know, like you said, with the quarters coverage. The safety position with Jaron Thompson, if Cook's moving on, what would you like to see, or have you heard anything about BJ Allen, or, you know, Larry Turner Gooden, or JD Coffey?
You know, you hear a lot of things, but again, it all comes back when I get on the field. Again, you know how it is. Practice looks one way, the games look different, and just the way that that team played this year, the physical, I think it was contagious. You just saw how the Marvion Overshown played, and then you saw how Ford played, and it just became contagious around them. So if they can continue to carry that torch, I think there's a standard that they set, and whoever the next man up who gets the opportunity, which is why you asked that question, and I'm really questioning, because Taft, a preferred walk-on redshirt freshman, he got a lot of playing time, and it seems like he got the memo. When he comes in, take your shots. And he was a very physical player. And again, another awesome guy that, you know, LHN, they always say, why do you like the good hoorah great stories? I'm like, no, I like football players. And with that being said, he was definitely a guy that came in, had an opportunity, and he showed why he was playing. He made some great tackles. You go back versus that Kansas State game where Cook was a little banged up or whatnot and didn't start. Taft came in there and played a whole half. And I mean, he was throwing his body around, should have had some. He literally, there was some opportunities there for him to have some interceptions this season. So hopefully he can plus his game and start becoming a better player or whatnot. But again, coming as a redshirt freshman, Jaron Thompson, you know, I believe he's a junior now, or redshirt sophomore. I think he got some playing time due to his redshirt year. But again, I look at a secondary and it kind of reminds me back in the day where I was a true freshman. Michael Huff was a redshirt sophomore. You had Aaron Ross, Terrell Brown, true freshman, Cedric Griffin, redshirt sophomore. You had a little bit of senior leadership when you had, you know, the Nathan Basher and Dakari Pearson, but the rest of us were young and we were able to grow together. And by the time we were juniors and seniors, I mean, we were playing for a national title, ended up winning one. And then the following year, you had another Thorpe Award winner. So I can really see this younger group gelling together, working together, and becoming a very elite group in the future.
Well, you mentioned his name a couple times, Jalen Ford. I mean, this guy could be the Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year. His emergence, how much do you put the defense's overall improvement on his emergence in middle linebacker?
You know what? I would have to say it all starts in the trenches. And that's why you go back to Coburn, you go back to Sweat, Ojimo, whoever it is up front. I think they allow the linebackers to be able to just play. They were taking on double teams. They were doing it all. And because of that, they were able to get a lot of things going from that linebacker position. Now, I'm not going to take away that Jalen Ford did do some great things, having a knack for being around the ball, recovering fumbles, interceptions, doing a lot of great things. And he progressed and got better and better each and every week. But it goes back to, in my personal opinion, a guy that's been playing this way since he's been on the field. And I go back to DeMarvion Overshown. Just the way that he plays, it's contagious. When you see the next man next to you, and I asked Derek Johnson this question. I said, let me ask you a question. On air last week at LHN, I asked him Friday. I said, who was the players that you looked up to and the players that you felt that, you know, I can play this game, but they taught you how to play. You knew how to play this game. And he said, man, you got guys like Corey Redding, Quentin Jammer, and just all these guys that it was like contagious. Like, you knew when you got on the field, I had to play a certain way. And he said, it just stuck with me. And I told him, I remember as a true freshman coming in and like seeing his highlights and seeing how he practiced and seeing how he played, it naturally told me that, all right, when you get in the game, you gotta throw your body around and get to the ball and do everything else. So it becomes very contagious. And so I tip my hat off to DeMarvion Overshown, because despite the downs and the gloomy days or whatever else, the University of Texas, he was one man that I can say that every time you turned on film, you was looking at Zero throwing his body around and just playing with a high intensity motor and just giving it his all for the team. And I think it just became very contagious throughout, just that leadership that he brought, very quiet from the country, middle of nowhere. But again, just the way he just played with some type of edge that you can't coach it, but you can feed off of it.
The pride of ARP in East Texas, DeMarvion Overshown. I'm going to miss his personality, man. That dude is hilarious.
No question.
That's going to be hard to replace. Okay, the coaching. You know, you've played the game. You know what a position coach means, what a coordinator means, what having a guy like Gary Patterson doing the advanced scout on the opponents mean. I mean, that TCU game, I felt like Gary Patterson knew exactly what, or felt like Texas knew exactly what was coming. You couldn't help but wonder if Gary Patterson had, you know, put together some kind of master game plan. But just give me your thought on maybe where the coaches were a year ago. And, you know, it takes time for them to get together and gel and get on the same page. And, you know, talk about the job you thought the coaches did.
The coach did a phenomenal job. I mean, you go to the defense side of the ball and just being able, like Bo Davis, being able to turn those same group of young men into some tough, nasty defensive linemen that can get after it. The linebackers got better. And just seeing that, you know, and then the biggest thing that I would really have to say, and you have to tip your hats off, is to the strength and conditioning coaches. I think this is one of those seasons where you didn't have a lot of injuries. Like you had in the past. And you really got to applaud, like, because, again, it started in the offseason, and you could just see how much better they just their speed, their physical, the way they played physical, their explosiveness, just all that together. So you got to give applause to the strength and conditioning coaches. But deep inside the ball, I mean, they got these guys ready to play. I mean, they knew exactly what they was going to do. They had a lot of different packages. You had packages where DeMarvion Overshown was on the line of scrimmage. Jalen Ford was on the line of scrimmage. You saw Tucker coming in at the linebacker position. You just saw they had a lot of different things that they had that I don't think you saw in the past. So deep inside the ball, I got to say, you got to give them an A. I mean, you went from giving up 40 plus whatever it was. I mean, we saw some crazy games to now you seeing them able to get turnovers. Some you didn't see get sacks, get pressures, tackle for losses. I mean, you go back to the Kansas State game and Iowa State game. I mean, the guys never gave up. And even the TCU game, that defense side of the ball never gave up. They never sweated. The Alabama game, they never gave up. And I think that was something in the past you would see from the team giving up. And that's the one thing you didn't see. These guys never quit on a team. You didn't see no off-the-field issues and things going on. So I got to give A-plus to the coaching staff on just – the way they handled all the adversity from last year to this year, the ups, the downs, and everything else, everything went as smooth as you can ask for it to be for a football team.
All right, we'll take a quick break. Talking to Michael Griffin, 2005 Texas National Champion, former Pro Bowl safety with the Tennessee Titans.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You ready, Bob?
Well, all right.
Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year.
You dig?
Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Michael, you kind of hit on it. The culture was improved from a year ago. I thought it was one of the big improvements. And that's probably the biggest thing. I mean, you tell me. That locker room, that togetherness, like you said, stuff, you know, no stuff happening off the field. And what did you make of it? What did you see?
I mean, the biggest thing you realize is that they always share their love for one another. I mean, just the atmosphere, the togetherness, you just seen it. You could just see like they were. And again, I said this years ago, you know, when you're winning, it makes everything a lot easier and everybody's a lot happier. But even when they faced adversity this year, you can saw they still stuck together. And you got to give credit to Sark on the aspect of how he just handled them. I mean, we all know this Texas job is not the easiest. The expectations is championship every year. But the way he handled it, the quarterback situation, having Bijan, but also still having Roshan, the receivers and getting Xavier Worthy the ball. I mean, again, he did a phenomenal job of trying to make everybody happy, but at the same time, winning ball games. And I think the biggest thing that I think, and it's the hardest thing to do, is that yours was your guy. And you chose yours, but you managed to handle all the outside noise. And I think Hudson Card and yours did a phenomenal job of just sticking together as a team. And just that whole situation, you know, struggles come. And I always say that second year for any quarterback is always going to be better than that first year. Just the aspect of it's hard. It's hard to play that position. The speed of the game is very quickly. And again, it's not understanding. Like, he's technically a true freshman because he foregoed his senior year to go to Ohio State for the, you know, whatever it was, NIL, whatever it is that he did, that's his personal business. But he didn't play. he did not play his junior year. He got banged up and he got hurt. And then you went from, you know, you're still trying to one, learn your teammates, learn a whole new system, a new city, dormitory. It's a lot of new things that gets on somebody's plate, and he's still a young man. So understand that to say that next year I'm definitely seeing him to be able to work with his receivers, game ownership of the team, the offensive side of the ball, and be able to take ownership and have it as his own. I think that's where you see the progression come. And let's not to mention, it wasn't as if he had a seniority type quarterback in front of him in Ohio State. He had a young guy there too. Great quarterback, but still a young guy that's learning the game. So it's not like he was underneath somebody to learn the game. And that's when you look at really good quarterbacks. They get an opportunity to learn from somebody in front of them. But at the time, you go to a school, you're competing with CJ Stroud, but he wins the job. And now you're trying to figure this whole thing out, but he's figuring it out. So y'all are figuring it out together as, you know, teammates. So I think the coaches did a phenomenal job and with everything collectively together and just putting this team in the right situation to win a lot of ball games. And, you know, it could have went either way. I mean, they won eight games, but it could be a 11 wins, or it can be vice versa. I mean, there were some times there where, you know, Iowa State's driving the ball, Kansas State's driving the ball. There were some opportunities there where it could have got ugly. So it could have went either way, but again, they found a way to get over the hump.
Yeah, they learned how to win on the road in true road games this year. They learned how to finish games, even the Baylor game. They lost the lead there at the 13:30 mark of the fourth quarter. With the strip sack, scoop and score. But then they bowed up and played phenomenal, dominated defense, offense, dominated the final 13 minutes of that Baylor game. I want to stay on the quarterback for a second, Griff, because that, you know, obviously the Oklahoma State game to me was the one that got away because they were running the ball well enough to win that game and they didn't run it enough, in my opinion. But and yours really struggled. The wind, the jammed finger, whatever. That was a tough one. His confidence seemed, I thought it was having to deal with the three high safety look of Iowa State, you know, slowed him down a little bit. Bijan and Rojo kind of carried the game in the fourth quarter. But you know, like you said, he didn't play that much in high school. He had to see that three high safety look. He struggled. I mean, there's no two ways about it. He struggled and Sark stuck by him. How do you think that will pay dividends going forward?
I think the thing is when you got that one, Sark's the head coach, but two, he's the offensive coordinator. And as long as the coordinator believes in you and you believe in that coordinator, it's going to work hand in hand. You know, you can piggyback ideas off one another. I go back to that game, and that was and the thing is, and I have this debate all the time on LHN. I have this debate, and the debate, and I even asked RG3 when he came on the show, and I said, does having receivers help you at the quarterback position? And he's like, what do you mean? And we all know RG3 won the Heisman, but who was his three receivers? They were all first rounders. One was in the supplemental draft, but they were first round wide receivers. Not to mention a good running back also. So when you have help around you, it makes the job a lot easier. And especially for young quarterbacks, you can go back to even Colt McCoy. You can go back to Vince Young, their early years. Vince had Roy Williams and Sloan Thomas and B.J. Johnson. Colt McCoy, when he first started, you had a polished group of receivers that just won a national championship. Lyman Sweet, Billy Pittman, Jordan Shipley, Quan Cosby. And two of those receivers went on to have great careers and go back to another national championship. So my thing is, and when I look at the Texas team, if you really said going into the season, the weakness was the secondary. But now looking at it, to me, the weakness was the receivers. And I only say that because once you took away the deep threat of Xavier Worthy, then what did you have? Yes, you had Whittington run your bubble screens or your over routes. JT Sanders is a young guy. That receiving core was still young. You know, Xavier Worthy is a second-year guy. I think he finished with 600-some yards receiving. I think it was however many touchdowns he had this season. But
nine.
Whittington, you know, he showed face here and there. But again, and then JT Sanders, again, this is his first year. He's a redshirt freshman. And he's playing a position that he's still learning. So outside of that, we saw Casey Kane a little bit. I think they completed one ball. I think he has one catch. And I think it was the first game in the season when he caught a now route, made the corner miss, and then he ran and got caught from behind. But outside of Tariq Milton, I think he caught two balls this year.
Savion Red.
Savion Red, I think, caught maybe one or two. Tell me. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just being honest. I mean, you go to these other quarterbacks and things in that nature, you see other guys. And if I had to ask, my biggest thing, I think Nayor was really a big hit when he got injured. I really think it was because I think it was they were riding on the fact of having Xavier Worthy and Nayor with Whittington playing the slot and a little bit of JT Sanders. When Nayor got hurt, it was still trying to find who that other outside receiver was. And now you start trying to put Xavier Worthy in positions to get the ball, but it was pretty easy when I got the three high safety look to say, run something else, because you're not going deep when we got three people back here waiting on you.
Yeah.
And so I think it was, I'm not going to put it all on the quarterback. I'm going to put it, like, it falls on the quarterback, but at the same time, it goes along with, I think, the receiving court was not the strongest when it comes to this team. I think that is their weak point. I think the receivers was definitely the weakest point when it came to this team.
Would you tell Whittington to come back?
I would tell Whittington to come back. I'm happy that he was able to finish out a whole year. But I think he, because this was his first year, I think he has a lot more in his tank. I think he has not scratched the surface because, again, in the past, he was fighting injuries, trying to get back on the field. Then when he got back on the field, he's trying to get back into the rhythm of things, and then he might get banged up again. So if it was me personally, I would say definitely it will be a great opportunity with a quarterback the second year starting. But at the same time, you have Xavier Worthy, you have Whittington, you have JT Sanders, and I'm sure you'll have Nayor coming back. So I think it will be better things in the future if he did come back. I think it would look solidifying, and whoever is going to play that third, that slot position, I think will definitely benefit with Nayor coming back, but not to mention a second-year quarterback and a veteran offensive line is going to be a lot better with the experience that they had this year.
That's what I was going to ask you. What what excites you most that this offense will take the next step?
I mean, the biggest thing is the fact I think the quarterback, and I say that because I think we can all say that everything that we were questioning Hudson Card about last year, he answered every single one of those questions. We just got really excited off the first quarter of football versus Alabama. And, you know, it's the Texas effect. You know, if he would have played, we would have won that game. There's no telling what would have happened, to be honest with you. I mean, he could have threw an interception and returned for a touchdown. Now what? I mean, but again, I say that, you know, you lose the Tech, but Hudson Carr still threw for 300 yards and still gave you opportunity to go to overtime. Even the Alabama game, he came in, he drove the ball down the field and got a field goal. If he didn't get sacked, which wasn't his fault, but doesn't get sacked, does he score a touchdown? Don't know. Or do you cause Alabama to use that last timeout, kick a field goal, and now they got a drive? They only had one timeout left. So that, and then you can go back versus West Virginia. I think he played his best game you ever seen. I mean, he was throwing it and chunking it everywhere over the place. So using his athletic ability. And again, let's not mention, both quarterbacks were banged up. One just had the shoulder, the other one had the ankle. But again, that's the one thing we can say about Hudson. He will play through pain. He will fight. I think he answered a lot of questions that we were questioning last year. But unfortunately, you know, we just didn't get to see it because yours was the guy. But again, if I'm a receiver, that's what excites me more, is that when you look at that first year to that second year, it's a completely different quarterback. And I think that's what excites me, because the game slows down for him that much more. And I think that's what would allow him to come in and allow this offense to be that much better, because one, you're comfortable with the school. You go through spring ball as a starter. Two, you get in the weight room program. You're older. You're more mature. You understand who your receivers are. If you got more receivers coming in the spring, you work with all of them. And then you hit play spring game. Then you go to the offseason. You continue to work. I mean, you literally got 8 months of just grinding it out and getting so much better.
When you look at Hudson Card, he's got 2 years of eligibility left. At least, I don't know, if you throw in the COVID, he might have three, but you think he, I mean, we saw Oklahoma State, their backup quarterback, Shane Illingworth, transferred to Nevada. They had nothing behind Spencer Sanders. I mean, Hudson Card is a valuable commodity. You know, what, you think there's any chance he comes back?
Honestly, I think he's gone. I honestly, and I wouldn't be shocked to see it almost somewhat like last year when Sark said that his roster would change. I wouldn't be surprised if that quarterback room shrinks a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, you got Malik, you got Hudson, you got Ewers, you got Arch coming in. You got Charles Wright. You got five quarterbacks that's going to be on scholarship.
Yeah.
I'm lost. I don't know how this is supposed to operate and how this is supposed to work. So I don't know. I can see guys trying to find another opportunity just because.
Because he balled out. He balled out.
I mean, there's going to be quarterbacks knocking at Hudson's door. Let's just say that. There's going to be, I mean, not quarterbacks. There's going to be coaches and teams knocking at his door.
Yeah.
I mean, he was the highly sought-after quarterback after Sam. And then, unfortunately, you know, the Casey, you know, he struggled his redshirt year, second game versus Arkansas. He came back last year, I believe it was it Iowa State or West Virginia, where it was like, ooh, okay, he's starting to show a little something.
Yeah, Iowa State, he you know, was in there. He's in there. West Virginia, right.
Virginia. He threw the ball, and he was like, okay. And that's why I became a Hudson fan, because I'm like, I told y'all, like, that second year, he's going to be ready to go. And he looked good this year. He did.
Yeah, he did.
Was his guy. So
West Virginia game, he was unbelievable.
Yeah, so I think there's going to be, you know, just going to have some suitors knocking at his door and see if that's the is that going to be the route he takes? You still got Malik. I'm questioning. We haven't even seen him. I mean,
right.
But again, he was a highly sought after quarterback also. So that's going to be the biggest question, not to mention looking at this year's draft, you see there's a lot of potential quarterbacks that's going to be going pretty early. So can definitely see some of these guys getting shots at other places.
Yeah. I mean, Bijan Robinson, Roschon Johnson. I'll just say go for you.
No question. No question. I mean, I know Bijan get a lot of love, very talented back. But I tell people all the time, if Roschon went somewhere else, we would have been trying to figure out who was the best two running backs in the country. That's just how I really totally feel. I think Roschon, being the fact that he came in as a quarterback, he got better and better and better every year. And the fact that he never got lost in the shuffle. I think people don't understand how much adversity that he battled, but it only made him that much tougher and that much stronger. You know, Keontae Ingram was in front of him. And then, you know, there was other backs. Whittington was supposed to be a starter in front of him. I mean, there was a lot of guys that he had to battle with to get some playing time. And again, he's going to definitely be playing on some on Sundays. If you ask me to predict, fourth or fifth round pick easily.
When you look at, you know, the guys coming back, Jonathan Brooks, Keelan Robinson, I'll just those two because you actually saw a decent sample size. How do you, and then, you know, Cedric Baxter is supposed to be coming in as a freshman. Your thoughts on the Texas running game?
You know, I think it's going to be better. Nothing to take away from Bijan Roschon. But again, you go back to that offensive line. They're going to be gelling, hanging out all offseason, bigger, faster, stronger, more explosive, understand the game, get the confidence with the running backs. But I can really see the offense taking off, being a lot better. Offensive line getting a good push to get to the second and third level. You saw this year, Bijan Roschon, you know, they're getting the ball and getting hit in the backfield, but they're still able to make positive runs. But I think next year, the younger guys that are going to be blocking up front will understand the game. Ewers or whoever's starting the quarterback, another year in the same system, understand it, get it going. The younger receivers, older, understanding, having more, being more comfortable. But again, this Texas team is really pretty young, to be honest with you. Really young. I mean, I think you're going to be losing, I think on the offensive side of the ball, of course, your two running backs, one offensive lineman, defense side of the ball, a couple of interior guys, one linebacker, one corner, one safety. It's a lot of guys coming back next year.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this, and we'll wind it down. If you had to give an MVP on the defense for the regular season, who'd you give it to?
Oh, most valuable player would have to go to, despite, and I don't, naturally it's Jalen Ford because of all the statistics and everything else. But if you really dig deep and you really look into it or whatever, I would really say, I really did like Jaren Thompson this year. Take that back. If I had to go really MVP, I would go with Jahdae Barron. I mean, it got to the point that towards the end of the season, he was really exciting to watch because he was doing, especially if you go back to that TCU game. You go back to that TCU game.
Three tackles for loss. He was all over that bubble screen.
I mean, he almost won the damn game, and he put the team back in the game himself.
Yeah. And so he dropped two pick sixes in the last two games.
He should have had one the first play of the game versus Kansas. First play of the game should have been a pick six.
And he had a walk-in pick six against Baylor.
And the thing that I like most was him and Gilbo were sharing, and then it just got to the point that, you know what, it's your job. Ford, yes, got all, but if I were to say MVP, like, lights, like, again, you know, I love Ford, did a phenomenal job. Yes, interceptions count as interceptions, don't matter how you get it, you know, but the fumble recoveries and everything, phenomenal job of hustling to the ball, yes. But Jahdae Barron made some, like, he made himself some money. He made some money. Another year and he played like that, DBU might be back.
DBU might be back. Some guys might be going in the first round again.
Might be back.
Been a minute.
Yeah, he played his tail off. He really did.
Griff, anything else that stands out to you, you think is important about this football team, this 8-4 season, where this team is going?
I think the biggest thing is, like, I know it's Texas, and I understand what, to me, I don't understand what that means, because I say this all the time. When this is Texas, what does that even mean? Like, it's a state, yes. It's a college, yes. It's Longhorns. I understand it. I went to the University of Texas. I am very appreciative of everything and all my accomplishments. But at the same time, a dynasty and anything good takes time. It takes time. And I would say, have some patience. You ain't got to have a lot of patience, but have some patience. I really feel like the team, you know, they never experienced winning in the past. I think they were okay with just being okay. But I think after losing and seeing what it feels like being 5 and whatever, and I think this team figured out and got a taste of what success really is and what it can do for you and how good it makes you feel. And I think once that starts happening, once guys start developing a culture, guys start realizing that we got to police one another and we got to give it all and stick together and just fight. I could see this team, that culture coming back, and the fans and family and alumni and everything having more smiles on their faces. But the biggest thing is have a little patience. Little patience won't hurt. It yeah. will not hurt, because it's been down for a long time, but again, on the verge of possibly winning 9 games. That hasn't happened in over a decade. So, hey, that's a positive. Take the pot. You can't get too greedy. Take the positives, because you can be like Oklahoma right now. Exactly. Wow. You can be like Oklahoma right now.
Yeah.
You could be like Oklahoma State right now. you know, there's a lot of schools you can be like right now. And again, be like Nebraska. It's a lot of things that this school can be like. So, you know, just stick with it. I think
patience.
I think Sark is figuring. He's figuring it out, and I think he's doing a phenomenal job. I think you saw that. It's funny thing. I was on air and I was talking, and he heard me live, and I was like, and my producer's like, Sark is on, and I'm in the process of like, listen, he just needs to just run the dang ball. Just run. And then I was like, oh, Sark's on. Hey, Sark, how you doing? He's like, I hear you loud and clear. Just run. And it was like funny, because it was pretty funny. And then next thing you know, I made a joke. I was like, he'll probably tell me next time you see me, like, you happy now? I ran. And that's when John ran. And then this last week, I, it goes back to, like I said, he's learning. You go to the TCU game, he got away from the run because he felt like it wasn't there. The Baylor game, Bijan had got the ball 7 times in the first half. Anybody would have said the run game is not there. Drop back and pass, Ewers loses the ball, touchdown. He ran the ball 20 plus times after that.
That's right.
No passes. Sorry, yours. Hand it off. So I feel like he's learning. Hey, listen, he's learning. So that's why I said, have some patience. It's a learning process and heading in the right direction, my personal opinion.
Well, you're headed in the right direction, my friend. We're looking forward to. Okay, so the television show will be on Roku.
Roku, correct.
And what's the title?
The Cupcake Guys.
Cupcake Guys. Of course
Simple.
It is.
Simple, it. Yeah.
Cupcake Guys on Roku. Look for it in January.
Correct.
All right. There he is, folks. Michael Griffin. Everybody's still picturing you making that interception against USC in the national championship game whenever they hear your name.
That's yeah, keep reminding me my age is coming up. It's on my birthday. It's always on my birthday. The game got played on my birthday.
How about that?
Yeah, I was 21 that day.
January 6th?
January 4th.
January 4th. How am I doing? January 4th. There it is. So maybe Cupcake Guys will come out on your birthday.
I don't know. Best birthday present you can win is the national championship on your
That's
birthday.
That's true. It's hard to top that.
Yeah, but every year it is hard to top it. Every time you get a year older and you realize how many years it's been. So it's,
I love it. Well, listen, you've filled people with so many great memories and you're doing a great job on LHN and everything else you got going, man. We really appreciate the time. Always love the conversation.
Appreciate you. Thank you. Have a good night.
All right, there he is, Michael Griffin. For Michael Griffin, I'm Chip Brown. Thanks so much for listening to the Flagship Podcast. Until next time, stay safe and keep the faith.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick 6, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick 6 has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick 6 is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.